Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 179, part 2, Hypocrisy. Today is Sunday, December 26th, the day after Christmas, 2010. Happy shopping? Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota and is located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live anywhere in the state of Minnesota, and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. That's all there is to it. Just simply call us, register, and you'll be able to come in the next day to pick up groceries and come in once a month after that. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation. You'll see that up at the top of the homepage. You're also going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to check out PastorPaul.org and connect to the online community. You can also call our new comment line. Be sure to do that. The new line is, if you're out of state, 1-877-489-0922. Local, 612-208-0918. So be sure to call the comment line. You can ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. We'll probably post those comments throughout the week at Pastor Paul's blog. So be sure to give us a call. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. So be sure to check those links out after you listen to Pastor Paul's messages. This month, the month of December, here is the lineup. Whatever happened to the will of God for now, be my witnesses, tried faith, hypocrisy, and the spiritual flood is coming. Those are the five messages for the month of December, starting with Friday, December 3rd. Be sure to listen to both parts. Part 1 is on Friday. Part 2 is on Sunday. So you can listen to both parts of the same message. The conclusion is on Sunday. Have a great month of December. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. God bless you. And we'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast.
Now, anywhere in the Bible, do you see it written where 9,000, 10,000, 20,000 people raise their arms up and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and sway back and forth in one of these explosion deals? You understand what I'm saying here? And not doing anything for the cause of Christ, not one single solitary thing. And when suffering comes, forget it. There's something wrong. I think it's almost hypocritical. I would feel like a hypocrite to say, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and not do anything for the Lord. Wouldn't you? Well, and I wonder if no one could see or hear us for a month, if it would alter our conduct. I wonder. If in the middle of our serving people we are slandered, you're serving thousands of people. I'm talking about literally thousands of people. And right in the middle of that, your ministry is attacked. Are you hearing this, preacher? No, if you never do nothing, you're never going to be slandered. And in the middle of serving all these people, you are hated and despised in the house of your friends. Well, how about that? And how about when funds don't come in? How about when the people you feed bite you? Because there's no meat in the macaroni and cheese you gave. You know that commercial, "Where's the Beef?" That literally is coming true down here, because right now we don't have any meat. And people are saying, "Where's the meat?" Well, we have no meat. I'm beginning to feel like they're looking at me like I'm some kind of a fried chicken or something. You know what I mean? God, I'm praying for meat with all my heart. Believe it. Well, when we are mocked. I was waiting tables today and had a pair of jeans on and a shirt and some shoes. I was dressed. But anyway, I walked up to this table and was waiting on these people here and so on like that, and they were from the school over there. And he said, "Are you?" They heard me laugh. He says, "Are you Pastor Paul?" Well, I says, "I'm sorry." I says, "You don't, like I always say, you don't look nothing like I thought you would either." They were off the radio. I says, "You expected something different, didn't you? You didn't expect me to be waiting tables. You didn't expect me to be mopping up slop here and hugging people down here in this mission." I said, "You didn't expect any of that. You just think, a lot of times people just think you're on the radio while you're in some kind of a silken cushion someplace. And they only bring you out very carefully on this silken pillow and put you in front of the microphone. And they say, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're on, huh?" No, I says, "You're seeing me on right here. This is what you get, what you see, okay?" Of course, I was just having fun with him. And then I laughed, and he says, "Well, you really are Pastor Paul." They still didn't believe it. So I stood on a chair. "Now do you believe it?" "Oh, that's better." Isn't that crazy? Well, how do we ever stand when there's no claps? When people shake their heads? Oh, aren't head shakers sickening? No, head shakers, you are sickening. You know what I mean? You know when they shake their head? Awful, terrible, preposterous. Whew. Huh? Aren't they? When flattery leaves you flat, and they don't get no more flattery from people. You want to throw in the towel? What are you looking for? Man's approval or God's approval? See, hypocrites do their work for applause. Can you keep working in the midst of boo? Boo! I mean, you know, 10,000 or 100,000 boos can discourage you if you let it. Or you can turn it to music. Boo! Huh? How many hear it? Or hisses. Hiss. See, the man that doesn't act rightly from a higher motive is a hypocrite. There is a higher motive in this thing. On you that are under persecution in your particular ministries, missionaries around the world, if your motive isn't from a higher source, it's a wrong motive. And you're a hypocrite. See, you act rightly on a higher motive. Things that people don't see and people don't know about, it's a higher motive. There's a higher calling. But also the hypocrites, they love titles. Dr. So-and-so. Doctor of what? What does that mean? And honors. So men will respect him. Now the Pharisees, they were never so happy that when people would yell, Rabbi! To have the highest seat made them feel so good. But how do you feel, preacher, when you have the low seat? How do you feel? Well, hey, there's consolation in all this. You ain't got so many people bothering you. Isn't that right? Sort of like a little vacation. How many are hearing this? Because if you're going to be afraid of your particular ministry and how men see it, and you have that fear, it's not a God. It's a hypocrite. Say amen. Yeah. See, the true Christian doesn't need titles. He's a kingdom worker. He can mop a floor or clean the toilet bowl. He can go outside and pack spuds. He can do anything. Whew. Listening on the radio now, I want to ask you something. You must be willing to have no reputation. Are you willing? Now think about that, what I just said. No reputation. What does that mean? Nobody knows you. Nobody. And the more you get into kingdom work, the more it's going to be that people don't hardly even know you. Hear it now. And they'll pass you by like you are a dirty shirt. But then you don't have to deal with their hypocrisy. You want to find out the hypocrite? Preacher, get yourself in a tight spot. Hear me now. Get yourself in a tight spot and the hypocrites is gone. They go out in deep water and they just raise their big old mouth, their hippo mouth every once in a while and gulp some milk. And you don't have to bother with them. Say amen. And all of a sudden, the people that you thought, well, these people aren't a God, all of a sudden they're kind of flocking around. Huh? Okay. Say amen. Yeah. Ooh. How many are hearing this message tonight? And I believe another evidence of the hypocrite is that he strained at the knot and swallowed the camel. Can you imagine somebody swallowing a camel, hump and all? Well, here's the hypocrite. The question comes up, should a Christian work on Sunday? How do you answer? The hypocrite says, no. But then he goes to the cafe on Sunday. Let's have a ribeye steak, medium, hash browns, butter green beans, glass of milk, and a cup of coffee, and a piece of pie. LMO. Hurry. And he gets gas on Sunday. Fill it up. Wash the windshield. Check the tires. And he gets on airplanes and he flies on Sunday. And he uses all of these dirty, nasty old sinners. And then he says, woe be it to you for working on Sunday. You better pray that that pilot don't repent and step out of that airplane, sonny boy. Hypocrites! They're all over the place. Oh, I wouldn't do that. How do you know? How do you know you wouldn't do that? They don't even believe you should meet the needs of the poor on Sunday. Well, I don't believe the poor need to eat on Sunday. And they will never face the issue of doing anything on Sunday. That's their favorite excuse day for just doing nothing. They lay on the davenport with the Sunday fundies over their face, see? Now, don't meet the needs of people of food or clothing or medical needs, no. There are always those who search out the little points of difference. And those are the men who, I believe, omit the weightier matters of the law. What's really important. See, they're so careful about the little things, and they while their own barns are bulging. Later on in this chapter, you'll find that these people neglected all the inward parts of religion and only observed the outward part. Are you hearing this? Jesus said, they may clean the outside of their cup and their platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. I believe that's like many books that are bound so magnificently, and they're all air on the inside. This is like some folks, airheads. They go to church, they do their duty, and that's that. See, many are outwardly great, but not inwardly. Are you hearing this? I think another sign of the hypocrite is, now we're dealing with a hypocrite tonight. His walk always depends on the place, upon the time of the day. He prays in the morning and all is fine and sweet, and he has a family altar and it's all fine and sweet. But as the day goes on, he starts to fade. The car has a flat tire. Half hour later at 9 o'clock, someone challenges him at 10:05. Someone gets promoted before him at 11:17. The wife calls and says the dog bit one of the neighbors. Then he opens up his lunch and he's got moldy bread. Look out! See, because hypocrites are generally severe with others and very lenient with themselves. His stealing is borrowing. His gossip is constructive criticism. His anger is righteous indignation. His killing is justifiable homicide. Somehow or other, he will make his vice seem like a virtue. Somehow or other. I even had a girl tell me, she says, well, I never got married. I heard this from three different women. I never got married, and they had five kids or something like that. I never got married because, you see, God hates divorce. Oh, okay. That's great. Now, what do you think of that? I think that's a hypocrite. But I think a lot of hypocrites become doctors. Diagnostic technicians. That's a good word, isn't it? Show him a Christian who really is humble and he says, I hate his fawning, silent ways. Tell him there is someone who is very courageous for Christ and, oh, he's impudent, says he. See, he carries a large beam in his own eye, but, oh, what an eye doctor he is. Allow me, he says, you have a speck in your eye. Jesus says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam in thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote in thy brother's eye. I think the mark of a true Christian is he will always make excuses for others, but never himself. He'll see his own spots first. He will allow the Holy Spirit to reveal him and all of his different sins. But oh, you hypocrite, oh, how you judge everyone else so harshly. You condemn and punish, and you lynch law every person. But as for yourself, you're on King's Road. And I think a lot of times your conscience slumbers and allows you to go easily on in the very things you condemn others for. Let me stop here for a moment and say we must all blame ourselves just a little bit here. Now let's throw up the hypocrite's account for him. And here's the account of the hypocrite. You're a private drunk. You swear with the best. You gossip profusely. You cheat people. You carry a Bible and everyone says, wow. Your next advantage is your next ease. See, I really believe some people don't sleep good until they've caused a whole lot of trouble. Then they can go to sleep. You know what I mean? They caused a whole lot of trouble and then they can go to sleep. But that is not going to last. You can only go on so long and then something's got to wake up your conscience, and when it is woken up, everything is going to come out in panoramic full color. Say amen, somebody. God, you know it's really hard to live with yourself? I mean, if you're not open and honest about it, pass it on. Let me lock it up here. How does this all add up? And I'm asking you on the radio. See, a real Christian knows his sins are forgiven. And that makes him open. And putting all this aside, hypocrite, you send up a stink, it says, into God's nostrils. Now the final audit is about due. Isn't there a song like that? Let's all fumigate, come on. Let's have a celebration, something like that. What is the cure for the hypocrite then? Fall on your knees and admit your sin. Like a rotten branch, persecution will separate many from the body. Oh, hypocrite. Now, what can we do to rid ourselves of any of this hypocrisy? Know that you can do nothing in secret. Know that. You can't do a thing in secret. You may deceive men, you may deceive yourself, but never God. Let me close with this. David prays in Psalm 35 and 8 against the slanderers. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. You know, when death enters the persecutor's house, it comes and it doesn't pause to knock at the door. And those thunderbolts of judgment that are sent out on others comes crashing back without warning. The Bible says he gets caught in his own net. Goliath was killed by his own sword. Men may throw up stones and they fall right down on their own heads. The Bible says they that curse are cursed. They that kick the pricks tear themselves. Yes, I guess I can really say this tonight. Being a slandering hypocrite does pay, but are you sure that you can afford it? It's a very costly sin. Say amen, somebody. Whew. I was talking about it earlier, about people going out. They go to all these different tables and they sit in all these different places. Just like David, he says, the hypocrites come and the hypocritical come to the feast. Now, all you people that are listening to all the slandering hypocrites, you're listening on the radio, they're all over the place, and I'm talking about worldwide. And they sit at these tables, and you're listening to them, you better make sure you're there, because you might be next. In the world, they do that. They go to parties, and they want to be the last one out, so nobody will talk about it. They go out to the Pannekoekens and the Perkins and all that after, and they sit. And oh, I've heard so many conversations. Oh, they're so evil. They're talking about getting rid of their... And I thought, God, those are Christians. I didn't believe it. And they're talking about getting rid of a piano player or someone that's the head of the music, or dumping their pastor or something like that. And they talk right out loud. And they've probably been sitting in church. Pastor, we and our family... We really love you. We think you are just so neat. You are a neat, neat person. Neat. You know what I mean? Neat. We love you. You are neat. And they go out and they sit in these cafes out there and they talk this thing down. I mean, you think, what is this? This person is a hypocrite. They just left the church and they were standing there at a 90-degree angle telling the pastor what a neat person he was. Or telling the Sunday school teacher what a great job they were doing. And they're sitting all over, and around the world I'm talking about. And they come right out, it's in the leaven. You know what I mean? It's talking about the Pharisees. And, oh, hey, do you think the age of the Pharisees is over? No, 1986 has got them. The bloodline, they continued on. And they're out there. They're hypocrites. Oh, God. Don't fall into that. Don't fall into it. Don't get into that, see, because there's a greater work, and everything that goes around comes around. You can only go into the valley so far, folks, and then you got to come up on the other side of the mountain. One thing I'll say here in closing is that I have learned more from the hypocrite than I have from anybody else, because now I know how to treat people. Say amen. And preacher, when you're in a tight spot, just think of all the hypocrites that you don't have to talk to. They won't talk to you because you're in a tight spot. Now you don't have to put up with them. You're free. Free at last. Praise God. All the hypocrites is gone. Say amen, somebody. I noticed that. God, I came down here several years back, and I guess I was pretty well known. I went around evangelizing and so on. As soon as I dropped into the north side, it seemed like I became unknown real quick. I mean, totally unknown. Paul who? Pastor who? Because see, folks didn't want to get involved in something. They like to talk about it, but they don't want to get involved in it. Don't you understand? Any excuse will do to get out of doing something. That's the way it is. We're in the age of hypocrisy. Don't become a hypocrite. You know, that's just somebody that tells the truth. Isn't that right? Brother, you are a sinner saved by grace. You know what I am? A sinner saved by grace. We're the same. Isn't that right? When you get to heaven, you know what you're going to find up there? Sinners. Saved by Jesus Christ. Saved by grace. Isn't that wonderful? When we all get to heaven, what a rejoicing there will be. And people will get up there, the people that were standing down here praising. Huh? Rocking. Have you ever been to those meetings? Huh? You been to them? Where you got 9,000 arms in the air swaying to, oh, how we love Jesus. And the husband's sitting home, and the wife is up here at one of these great big old praise meetings, and he's sitting home, he's got a stack of these TV dinners he's been popping in the old micro. Oh, how I hate eggs! Oh, how I hate eggs! That's a hypocrite. Say amen, somebody. I always tell people, man, who are you trying to fool? Just be straight with me. You know, I had two of these young guys come in. I could tell, even what church they've been to. They come in, you got any tracks, brother? Praise God, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, 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 praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. I says, can't you say anything else? Are you a broken record or what? Christians don't act like this. This is not being a Christian. Hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Huh? See, someone had taught him how to be a hypocrite. And I knew exactly who had taught him. Realize how many churches and all the people are exactly the same and they're all hypocrites? I mean, we're all hypocrites in some degree, but I'm talking about full-blown, liver-lipped, bug-eyed hypocrites. You know what I mean? Full-blown, that don't know that they are. And you know where they're from. Okay. Praise God. May the Lord bless you. He is! I am blessed, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Then you go talk to another one, they say the same thing. And they get done shouting like that. I say, well, I believe you. Be cool. I believe you. It's almost like they're going to pull out some ID or something. Here! There it is. Read it. I haven't got one thing to prove in my Christian walk other than I'm a sinner saved by grace. Anybody got something different? Well, if you do, you are a hypocrite. Because what you're saying is that everybody else is and you aren't. I praise God that I tithe. I praise God that I this and so on. You know what I mean? Oh, don't fall into it. Just be a real person. Don't get into explosion this and explosion that and whatever. And just don't be a hypocrite. What's a hypocrite? One time I went and they had a meeting and this guy went, that whole side over there, spirits on it, wham! And these people went down, half of them were just laughing. Nothing hit them over there. They just thought they'd all fall down. It'd be kind of fun. Be kind of fun, and the whole side fell down. And you looked, some had one eye open, you know, and some were saying, oh, get off of my leg. And I looked down, and I thought, well, this is hypocrisy if I've ever seen it. You understand what I'm saying? This is the truth. It's hypocrisy. And they're afraid to say they didn't get touched. Did you get touched? Boy, did I ever. They're afraid to be real. Say amen, somebody. And if you talk like I'm talking, you're going to suffer for it. I know, hey. It's the truth, though, isn't it? There's a lot of hypocrisy going on. Did you feel the Spirit? And just because somebody was that's supposed to be spiritual says it, everybody says, "Wow, did I ever!" Well, they felt that when they got home, "Ooh, how I hate Agnes, huh?" Why can't we just be real? Why do we have to conjure up something and make a hypocrite out of ourselves? Just be yourself in God. That's all you have to be. That's all you got to be, is be yourself in God. And see yourself in every and any situation. See yourself in any of those. For the grace of God, there I am. Well, we're just passing through. Your guy says, "What's in this for you?" I said, "Well, I'm just a bald-headed little man trying to make it to heaven, man. Don't get too serious with me. I mean, you know, get off me, you know. I mean, huh?" Do you understand what I've tried to say here tonight? Just be yourself in God. You don't have to say, "Praise God." You know what I mean? You don't have to say in a certain way, I'm saying. You just say, "Praise the Lord." Or, "Praise the Lord." You don't have to have a certain voice. You don't have a certain diction. You don't have to have a pronunciation exactly the same to fit in and be a hypocrite. Huh? You understand what I say? Just be yourself. Maybe that's my problem. Be yourself in the Lord. You know what? It'll pay off. It's paying off for me. Say amen. It just pays off, people. This old ministry that went down in the valley is coming up on the other side. You know what? When you get to the top, there'll be another valley waiting for you. But you always learn from them. And you get... so you expect them. See, the hypocrite worries about them because people won't think you're quite as spiritual. Seems to me that brother's down in the valley quite a bit. Must be under judgment of some kind. Yep, that's what it is, judgment. Better conjure up some kind of a prophecy over them or something. That's what they deserve, you know. And it's so phony baloney, I don't believe it. God, why can't we just be real people, you know, dealing with real problems? Oh. I can't tell you, in this last 9 months or this whole last year, the things that I have learned about myself and about others, one thing I have really learned, and I really pray that God shows me whenever I'm a hypocrite, straighten me out. Isn't that the way we should pray? God, straighten me out. Search my heart. But don't let me and allow me to be a hypocrite. Don't let me say one thing with my mouth, do another thing with my hands. Let me be a real person and let me have a higher motive that overrides all the other motives so that I can serve the kingdom of God the very best. End of message. Are you born again, honey?